This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're glad you're with us this morning, the 14th day of the month, in case the Valentine's Day reference fooled you there. We're covering a lot of stuff this hour. We got Jim Carafano coming up next. He's going to be talking more about this Ukraine-Russia peace talks that are apparently scheduled now. And, of course, we're going to get to the Capitol beat this morning with Congressman Eric Burleson to figure out what I watched him in that DOGE subcommittee the other day. Did a great job. And there's so much going on up in D.C. right now, it's hard to keep track of it. So we'll check in with him on that. We'll get to Kim on a Whim a little later. Give away some Doobie Brothers tickets next hour. Please don't forget, you can always download the podcast at 971talk.com on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, and we podcast each segment there for you to make it easier if you missed anything through the course of the morning. We had a great conversation a little bit earlier with our friend Ryan Schmelz. If you missed that, you can go back and listen to it, talking about what this bill might be, this reconciliation bill, and how many cuts. Like, that's what we're talking about. It's reforming government. And what will the Republican majority be able to do without having to fight a Democratic filibuster in the Senate? Because reconciliation lets them do that. So I'm hoping they do something big, like really big, like huge. That's what we're hoping for this morning. Kim St. Anjan here along with me with Carl Middleman. And, of course, Sue Thomas has been bringing your traffic all morning long. So we will continue to do that for sure. Before we get to Jim Carafano, though, let's get to our top stories. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I am Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, there you have it. RFK Jr. being sworn in yesterday after being confirmed by the Senate. 52 votes he got. The only one he missed was Mitch McConnell, believe it or not.
Income tax credit. It was $15.9 billion, having to do with food stamps, improper, $10.5 billion in improper payment.
Yeah, we're saving billions here and billions there, and it is starting to add up. The list the president unveiled yesterday, it was kind of hard to believe that nobody cared about it up until now.
A desert solar project once hailed as the future of solar and clean energy. Now the owners of this giant field of mirrors in the Mojave Desert have announced it's closing down.
Yeah, CNN reporting on this story. How about that? Billions more of your taxpayer dollars wasted. And this one dates all the way back to the Obama administration.
The topic heating up the Senate hearing room is tax cuts. Missouri senators are discussing a proposal that would eliminate Missouri's income tax by 2027.
Amen. Amen. They're finally holding hearings talking about eliminating the income tax. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, I have to tell you, man, it's just been Art Laffer was in town a couple of months ago for the Show Me Institute. I had a chance to meet the guy for the first time. He was a confidant of Ronald Reagan and really the Laffer curve everyone knows of by this point. And he spoke at length that night about all of these states that don't have an income tax and how much better their economies are doing than the ones that do. Well, this is just a basic concept for conservatives. To liberals, they can't wrap their brains around it. That if people have more of their money, they can decide how to spend it. They prefer a big government that takes your money and then decides how to give it back to you, which is never made sense and never worked anywhere in the history of the world. I want you to hear this story. This is, I think, I got this one from Channel 4. I can't remember. They've got a bureau reporter covering some of the hearings on eliminating the state income tax, and all they want to focus on is how much it's going to cost.
The topic heating up the Senate hearing room is tax cuts. Missouri senators are discussing a proposal that would eliminate Missouri's income tax by 2027. Six Republican senators worked on this proposal together, including Senator Ben Brown.
And reform our tax policy in a revenue-neutral way, one that would be truly historic, making us the 10th state in the nation to eliminate our state's income tax.
Under this proposal, the revenue from income tax would be replaced with sales taxes on services that are not currently taxed, such as haircuts or real estate transactions. The income tax goes into Missouri's general revenue. That's the part of the state's money that is not pre-allocated to certain things. Brown says getting rid of the income tax would attract new people and businesses to Missouri.
And we need to signal to people across the country that Missouri is a great place to come live, work, and raise a family. And I think by eliminating the income tax that we'll be able to do just that.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Brown, for fighting the good fight down there.
I support this. I think it's nice knowing that people who are tourists coming to popular destinations like Branson, Lake of the Ozarks, would be helping to contribute to this, to make up some of that. Because you do have to, if you're not getting that income, I mean, you do have to say, okay, well, where are we going to get that? We either need to cut spending, which we all know is very hard for lawmakers to agree on, or we need to find some other way to generate it.
You know, in my grandfather's lifetime, he lived before there was ever an income tax. Like, we didn't have income tax in this country until 1916. My grandfather was born in 1910. I mean, there was a time in this country when we did just fine without needing an income tax. And then the big government progressives decided this is what we needed to do to grow government. And once it was enacted, then, of course, you can never live without that source of bureaucratic income.
Well, it's kind of like the example that you gave yesterday, which is that if your income grows, like you get a raise at work, generally you don't feel wealthier because your spending also increases. And I think that's part of the problem is that with our government, you know, we've generated more income with all these taxes. And instead of holding on to that and whatever the case may be, paying off debt, we just spend it.
Yep.
Recklessly.
Yep. With all due respect to drunken sailors, we spend it like drunken sailors, like there's no tomorrow. And now we pay the price for it. And when you talk about a tax cut like President Trump's tax cuts, well, it's going to cost us trillions of dollars if we extend those tax cuts. That's the people's money they get to keep. How did it cost you anything? It only cost you something if all you do is plan on how to spend it. That's why no government program ever gets smaller. It doesn't ever get smaller. And it's just a sad truth that we all live with in this country. It would be great to get rid of the federal income tax. But, of course, Donald Trump floated that the other day. He said we should go back to tariffs. That's how we operated before we had an income tax. We were taking the money from other people and not from our fellow citizens in order to fund the government. It is never too early, children, if you're listening this morning, to learn an important story.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Amen, Mr. Swanson. All right, coming up, Jim Carafano joining us. I don't know if he's in D.C., if he's halfway around the world. I know he's been listening this morning because he retweeted the fact that we were going to have him on here in a few minutes. And we'll talk about the peace talks underway for the Russia-Ukraine war. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I myself just spoke to the president about these calls, and he told me to tell all of you they were very good calls, they were very positive, and the administration is wholeheartedly committed to a peace deal to end once and for all the Russia-Ukraine war.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle. All right, Jim Carafano on the line from the Heritage Foundation. And, Jim, good morning to you. How are you?
The man, the myth, America? Like, who that is? Who came up with that?
Ryan Wiggins.
That is, like, you sound like, you know, Michael Jordan. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, he comes up with some good liners, for sure. Wiggins does. He does a great job with that, for sure. now you've thrown me off. I wanted to talk about this this Russian-Ukraine negotiations that President Trump has floated. Pete Hegseth's been talking about it. What's your take?
Well, it's going to be fine. You know, the Europeans are idiots. I mean, really, they're like petulant little children. It's all going to be fine. First of all, Zelensky's already on board. He's part of the team. You know, the United States, you know, this thing, well, we're going to do this big critical minerals deal in Ukraine. So, well, obviously, we're not going to let Russia take over Ukraine if we're going to actually be doing business with the Ukrainians. Putin is at the point of strategic exhaustion. He needs this thing to stop. They're going to do a deal. Trump likes to make deals. He doesn't like to make bad deals.
No.
So it's going to be fine.
Well, you know, they're talking about, like, what, meeting in Saudi Arabia or whatever. Isn't the real question here what Ukraine has to end up giving up, though? Because they're going to have to cede some land, right?
No. I don't think so. This is what I say is here's the definition of a bad deal. If you give Putin something at the negotiating table that he didn't win on the battlefield, that's a bad deal, and that shows weakness. But if the deal is we just acknowledge the reality of where things are and we just stop here, that's not a bad deal. That's not a concession. That's not appeasement. It's just reality. That's the cost of making the dying stop. So nobody, even Joe Biden, even the Europeans, nobody said they were going to underwrite the Ukrainians fighting to recapture their territory. And the reality is the Ukrainians do not have the military capability to reconquer the territory of Ukraine. It's just a reality. Now, there's a difference between acknowledging that and saying you're giving up the sovereignty of the occupied territory, which the Ukrainians will never do, and nobody's going to force them to do that. So they're not going to really give Putin anything. And Putin is not really going to get much other than a pause in the war. Most of the sanctions likely won't come off. The price of oil is still going to go down. We're still going to crush their oil industry. So all Putin gets out of this is a breather. And you say, well, why would Putin sign up for that? Because that's the best he can get. And why would we sign up for that? For the simple reason that the biggest concern the President of the United States has is innocent Ukrainians are dying, and nothing's ever going to get better as a result of that.
I have to ask you about what's going on with Hamas, because the terrorists have agreed to release...
Hamas,
I should call them that. They've agreed to release a few more hostages tomorrow. But I remember I think a couple days ago, 2-3 days ago, Trump had warned that all hell would break loose if Hamas didn't release all of the remaining hostages. So since it sounds like that's not going to happen, how do you see this playing out?
Well, clearly the president's threat, which was basically to say, look, if the Israelis want to go back to hammering you in the dust, I'm not going to stop them.
Yeah.
That actually had an impact because it prompted the release of more hostages. The reality is look, nobody thinks there's that many living hostages left. So when you hit about this big number, people are really fearful that most of those are really just kind of bodies. So I think it's great that more hostages are coming out. And they're coming out faster. That's good. But I don't know. You know, I think the event, you know, eventually they'll get all the hostages back. But, you know, the president's really shifted to the big question, which is, what do we do about the future of Gaza? And what he's very clearly sent a message to everybody in the world is the notion that we're just going to go back, rebuild Gaza, you know, with billions of dollars of foreign aid, let Hamas come back in, run the place, and pretend like October 7th never happened. I don't know what we're going to do, but that damn sure is not the outcome we're going to have.
Yeah,
that's the message.
Jim, it's the chess game, right? And I don't think anybody pays attention enough, but Donald Trump's several moves ahead of everybody else because...
So it's like playing chess, but with Luca Brasi. That's what it's like.
Well, but I mean, 2 weeks ago, people weren't... The people in the Middle East weren't talking about rebuilding Gaza. Now, suddenly, it seems like it'd be a lot better idea if they used Arab money to do it than to allow the U.S. to come in and do it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, Trump is a popular president of the most powerful country on earth with very serious ideas about how to make the world safe for America and how to benefit our friends and allies. And rather than your hair on fire every time Trump says, I'm going to do this or do that, that it's like the end of the universe, and just literally kind of letting, you know, AOC live in your head, right? You should just realize that take the guy seriously and respond in a constructive way. If you're a friend and ally in the United States, people that do that do well, and people that do not are just, they're just not. I was explaining to the Europeans, you guys are in a terrible situation because Trump is not going to walk away and leave Europe because it's not in our interest.
Right.
He is also not going to be Joe Biden and let you do whatever you want. He is going to be the angry parent that beats you into submission until you actually behave.
Until you actually pay 5% of your GDP into your own defense. That sort of thing.
And, yeah. Right. And stop doing this green nonsense and telling your children that they have a choice of 87 genders. I mean, he's just going to hammer them. It's like, wake up.
It is a great day in America, and you're a great American, Jim Carafano. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, brother.
Yep, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, it's true. Somebody's playing chess while the rest of them are playing checkers. And I think Trump wins in that scenario in most cases, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to a segment we are calling the Capitol Beat every Friday. We're going to get one of our elected representatives from D.C. to phone into the show. Up next, Congressman Eric Burleson.
Whoever is watching, what you're witnessing is the dying scream of addicts who realize that tomorrow they're going into recovery. Because this town, Congress, has been addicted on spending opium or other people's money for a long time. And that's what you're witnessing today, is this desperate cry of individuals who don't want to see fiscal responsibility.
Capitol Beat.
All right, we welcome in the man you just heard there speaking at that subcommittee hearing earlier this week, and that is Congressman Eric Burleson on the phone with us this morning, of course, from Missouri's 7th Congressional District. Congressman, welcome back.
Oh, great to be back, Mark.
Yeah, great job, by the way, in that subcommittee, because what you said there is absolutely the truth. The only people that could be complaining about the right sizing of government are the addicts who only care about having your money so they can spend it.
Yeah, and it was remarkable. We heard from witnesses who were experts about fraud and all of the spending and wasteful spending that has happened. And I mean, the numbers were staggering. And we're talking, and the recommendations for how to solve it are very simple. And what 99% of the American taxpayer would support, things like identity verification before you sign somebody up for a lifetime of government welfare, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So things like that that are just common sense, and the Democrats were losing their minds. They were throwing an absolute temper tantrum, and they knew they couldn't win on the argument, so what do? They attacked the messenger. They started going after Elon Musk, right? But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter it doesn't matter who the messenger is. It doesn't matter anything about Musk. The question is, why are you okay, with us blowing $2 trillion in waste, fraud, and abuse? I just think the American people won't tolerate that.
We've seen some of these tantrums that they're throwing, on camera, where they're just screaming about how mad they are, dropping F-bombs about Elon Musk and Doge. But I'm curious to get your perspective, being actually there in Washington, D.C., overhearing some of these conversations. What are you hearing behind the scenes? What are those conversations like that we're not getting to see airing on TV?
So I think that the Democratic Party is kind of fracturing. So there's some Democrats that still have their sanity, and they recognize that this is a bad political move and that this is foolish. Those are usually, I'll have some, locker room conversations, because I lift weights in the morning with both Republicans and Democrats. And sometimes they'll talk about that. And so you kind of sense it, but, generally, internal fights they try to keep to themselves, but it's kind of clear that they don't all think that this is a very smart political move. And it's not, because they're throwing a tantrum about what? They're throwing tantrums about all this crazy money that was shoveled out through USAID to, like, all the DEI stuff around the globe, all the LGBTQ and transgender stuff around the globe, not even in the United States. It's not, it is a 80-20 issue. And yet they are absolutely doubling down on this. And then what that does, it sets it up so that if there's another issue that is a little bit more, has a little bit more controversy to it, they have no standing. They have no legitimacy because they lost their minds on an 80-20 issue.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I heard Scott Jennings make a similar point on CNN the other day. They're on the dramatically losing end of all of these arguments because Americans are at home looking at some of this spending on, LGBTQ drag comic books in South America, wondering, why is my money out of my pocket being spent on garbage like that? So, Congressman, what they're complaining about is, well, what are you going to do next? So you've got this reconciliation bill the House is putting together.
that's going to include cuts. So I would imagine, I want to put words in your mouth, as a member of the Conservative caucus, you're pushing them to go even farther, aren't you?
I am, yes. And I'm pleased that we've gotten them to move at least to the point in which we are.
Yeah.
I think this will be a big win. It's not going to save the country ultimately. I mean, it's not going to save it immediately, but it's going to at least start building the muscle memory that Congress will for once spend less money than it did before. We're going to cut about $2 to $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years. That, you know, $2.5 trillion sounds huge, but when you span it out over a 10-year period, that's about $250 billion a year out of a $7 trillion spend. So it's not exactly a lot in given the picture, but I'll tell you, it's about 10 times or more what was originally proposed. So they had originally proposed about $30 billion a year being cut out of a $7 trillion budget, which is just pathetic. So we, Freedom Caucus and fiscal hawks, were able to, you know, demand more spending cuts. And I stuck to $2 to $2.5 trillion as a bare minimum for this reason. The growth on the interest payments on our national debt grows by about $200 billion annually.
Wow.
So if you don't cut by at least $200 billion annually, you're getting nowhere, getting absolutely nowhere. So I wanted to at least cover the interest payments. I thought that was at least a good first step, and I'm glad that we got there.
So Congressman Eric Burleson, our guest this morning. Last night, Mayor Tashara Jones here in the city sat down with some of the members of the Board of Aldermen, and they held a hearing, which of course is now not available online. I don't know why they blocked people from seeing it, but she tried to scare people. She's trying to tell people here in St. Louis that the Trump administration is implementing Project 2025, that they could potentially cut $4,000 a year from retiree benefits. She's telling Medicaid enrollees they're going to lose their coverage. I mean, it's all these scare tactics to try to keep this spending in place.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like, we're specifically not cutting Social Security. We're not doing anything to Social Security or Medicare.
Right.
If anything, what they're finding is people that shouldn't be on Social Security, illegal immigrants who are collecting Social Security checks. Are you kidding me? But cut them out, because our Social Security Trust Fund is going to go bankrupt in 8 years. We need to make sure that there's no fraud happening in that system. There's not a single U.S. citizen who should be worried about that.
Yes.
In fact, they should be happy and applauding that. So Tashara is, I think, trying to create fear, mm-hmm. and false flags. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm sorry to change the subject, but I was just telling you, I'm thrilled to see that RFK Jr. was confirmed as the, you know, head of HHS. And I'm just wanting to get some understanding from you. Like, what power will he have to implement some of the changes he's talked about? Because he's even spoken about Medicare, Medicaid, things like that, that you've heard people try to scare the public into saying they're going to cut this. What kind of changes can he implement versus what Congress would need to, you know, approve, basically?
There's not a lot that he can, like a lot of policy changes like Medicaid that he can do without Congress. But
right.
Within the administration, he's got the discretion over where they spend the dollars. And as you saw with, the National Institute for Health and the way that the FDA works and the way that the drug approval process works, there's a lot of corruption within those systems. He's going to clean house. He's going to eliminate the corruption. That's what he's on a mission to do. And then he's going to spend money on real science and making sure that we do studies that that are in the best interest of the American people and not in the best interest of the pharmaceutical companies or the big food processing companies. Because that's been what's happening over the last... We haven't studied, for example, the effects of these dyes or seed oils and all this stuff, because the food industry... it doesn't want it to happen, and that when they're the ones paying for the funding, they'll say, "Well, we're not going to fund any of your grants if you're going to research
exactly
our products."
Congressman, you've been busy. You've introduced a federal abortion ban in the House. You've introduced an Unplug EV Act
Where do those things stand? Have they been assigned to committee?
They've not yet been assigned. Those were introduced last year. I had I was able to collect co-sponsors. This year, I have even more co-sponsors. So we're getting the ball rolling. Those are the EV charging station one. Look, Biden had appropriated $8 billion
wow.
to build electric vehicle charging stations. That's a staggering number. And Pete Buttigieg was able to barely build 30-something stations or get them started even. So we're clawing back as much of those dollars as we can in the bill that I'm sponsoring.
Well, that's outstanding. Congressman Burleson, we always appreciate your time, and thank you for the updates. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you very much. Good to get him on there. $8 billion in Pothole Pete managed to build 30 EV charging stations.
So dumb.
It is dumb. And who pays for it? Like, if the government builds it and installs it, do you charge for free or do you have to, like, swipe a credit card? Or I don't even know how that works.
I don't either.
Because I have to pay when I go to the gas station. I would assume you would have to pay for the electricity. I know at private ones you probably do, for sure. Where there's a demand, the free market will build those if there's a demand. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim.
Yeah, today's a special edition of Kim on a Whim because I have a personal announcement that I want to make here on the show.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, if you know anything about Carl Middleman, you know that he has a special meaning behind every single song he plays. Now, today, Ethan Bright picked the music because he won Monday's edition of Real or Fake News.
Yes.
That's a new thing we're doing.
Yeah.
But I think Ethan allowed you to pick the song for this particular segment, right?
It's a horrible song.
That you're having my baby.
If you haven't guessed my announcement by now, you should listen closer to that song because the announcement is that my husband and I are so excited that we are expecting our second baby.
Congratulations from all of us.
Thank you. I'm due in August, late August, and we have been praying about this and we are just so thrilled that our son Easton, who just turned 2 a couple weeks ago, will be a big brother. You know, we didn't find out with Easton if it was a girl or a boy, and we plan to do the same thing, which a lot of people think we're crazy. How can we possibly wait? And trust me, it is hard, but it is so worth it.
You're gonna get a lot of like green things at your baby shower.
Yellow.
Green and yellow.
Well, I think with the second baby, sometimes your friends will do what's called a sprinkle. I don't even need a shower. We have so many hand-me-downs for my sisters that we're covered, boy or girl.
Yeah, Michelle got invited to one of those recently, a sprinkle for a third baby. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not as, hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to mention that you guys know I'm going through a really hard time right now. We lost my mom unexpectedly a few weeks ago. So it's kind of this crazy time in my life because obviously this has been a really, really difficult season of my life. But that doesn't take away from how excited we are about bringing a new life into this world. And I'm so happy that my mom knew. I told her, my husband and I told her the day after we found out, which was at about, I think, 4 weeks. She was so excited. This would have been her 9th grandbaby.
And you know, I mean, honestly, a lot of people kind of keep that to themselves longer than that. just because sometimes you're not sure. That's early, right? But I'm so glad that you did that. Yeah.
And she was so excited.
I'm sure.
So there's a part of me that's grieving that she won't get to meet this baby. She was in the delivery room. Well, she was in the room during almost my entire labor with Easton and the delivery. My sisters were there. You guys have heard me talk about, I mean, we're just a very close family. So my sisters, the plan is for my sisters to be there for this birth. And, but it's just part of the processing of the grief, process, as I've learned, is not linear and it's very much up and down. So I just have a lot of thoughts right now, but I just want to make it so clear that God is good and he has blessed us with this child and we are ecstatic about it. If you've noticed me, if you watch on socials, you can see us and I've basically been eating nonstop. I mean, I always ate on the show, but I've been eating a lot on the show and it's because I've been incredibly sick. And it's not just morning sickness, guys. That is not a thing. It is, for me at least, all day sickness to the point where it actually gets worse at night. So my husband has been a rock star. Our friends and family, in light of what's gone on with my mom, have been incredible, dropping off so many meals for us, friends offering to help clean. But my husband has been doing so much. And so I will be taking 12 weeks off. And it's been interesting to see what companies offer for any sort of parental leave.
For maternity leave?
Well, yeah, because like, for example, Anheuser-Busch offers 16 weeks, I believe it is, for parental leave. So whether it's the dad or the mom, it's 16 weeks. Whereas companies don't have to offer any sort of paid leave.
Well, that's because they're Belgian.
Well, there has to be something. Like, does IKEA offer a lot of... Someone who works for IKEA, tell me if you get great benefits in that way.
Yeah, they might. They might. That Eastern European influence.
We get about 6 weeks, but if you go Google some of these other countries in Europe, for example, it's wild to see what they offer. Like, for example, in Austria, moms are supposedly obligated to take 8 weeks from before their due date and then 8 weeks, at least 8 weeks after. But there's many that will do upwards of, you know, 50 plus weeks of fully paid leave.
What do they have against pregnant women?
Nuts.
Why do they want them out of there with 8 weeks?
That's probably it. They're just finding a creative way to get rid of them. They're emotional after they give birth. That's a true thing.
That's not what I'm suggesting.
I don't expect that companies are offering all this paid leave. I get it. It's easy for me as a woman, as a mom who understands that it is incredibly important to have the time with the baby. I mean, they've even done studies that talk about how critical the first number of weeks are. It's lower infant mortality rates. It's higher chances of breastfeeding success, mental health. I mean, there's so many benefits to having that time. And we shouldn't celebrate when people like Caroline Leavitt go back after 2 weeks. I do not like that has been celebrated. That is not healthy to go back to work after 2 weeks and to say that's a good thing. But I don't expect companies to offer 12 weeks paid leave. As much as I think so many of us moms would love that, that's a lot of money.
Well, it is. And I'm just against, I think it's a perk. And if a company chooses to do it to entice people to work for them, I think that's the company's choice.
Agreed.
I'm opposed to the government forcing those sorts of things.
Right.
And, you know, with Family Medical Leave Act, you're welcome to take the time off and they can't replace you.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you're going to get paid if you take that much time.
You
right?
have to, I think, have worked there for at least a year. It has to be a large enough company. Like if the company has fewer than 50 employees, they don't qualify for that. So you wouldn't even have the FMLA. But you're right. It just holds your spot for 12 weeks. But it is interesting. It says right now, the study I found, 40% of employers offer some sort of paid paternal leave.
Well, congratulations. Everybody on social media is here. Bendy said she could tell by looking at the picture of you on there that you were pregnant. I couldn't, but she says she could. So
well,
congratulations.
There you go. Thank you, everyone.
Chief Mike Wiegand from Eureka sent his congratulations.
Thank you, Chief.
Well. Absolutely. He's listening this morning. That's great. All right, coming up, we're going to give our Doobie Brothers tickets away, and we'll talk to Jessica Rosenthal. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.